You guys notice Brian's really styling shirt he had on today? I kind of like it. You know, it's amazing how you look up and the summer's already gone. It's a good thing, maybe. The heat's gone, but summer's gone. Fall's here. School has started. Things are changing. Good, bad, or indifferent, the time goes on, doesn't it? Really cool. You know, I was thinking Labor Day, so I looked it up. Labor Day is a national tribute to the contributions workers have made to the strength, prosperity, and well-being to the country. That really works for Living Word Fellowship, too. When I think of our church body, it's amazing to think of the industrious people that work out of this building. I know the elders are thankful for it all the time. We talk about how these people are really hard workers and really contribute and are examples in their job. Kind of neat. There's so many things to do in the valley. So I was thinking of a couple people's jobs, and one I'm going to pick on Tony Mock. Tony Mock laid tile, self-employed for over 20 years. Hard work, did it himself. Some of the times he probably should have had help, but he was there doing it himself. Now he's switched and he's in a sales job. But there's a lot of pressures. There's a lot of difficulties in a sales job. He might say the work is easier, but he'd say work is work. It's really difficult. Sometimes he probably wishes he was doing the physical job. Linda Byers, wave your hand. Okay, her husband Bill is working at Sutton Pistachios. 7 days a week, it's the harvest season. For 7 weeks, they have 50-some days to bring the crop in. It's a lot of work. You might think of Bill during the week. You know, I mean, it's just a whole lot of work. Another couple here at church, they're hoping for 5 more years of gainful employment, good jobs, so they can retire. It's just a lot of different stages in our life, and we all go through them. So I got out my kaleidoscope. Okay, you turn it, and there's a different picture. So we all start out as kids, little kids, you know, and some of us are in that phase now. And then, unfortunately, you have to grow up. So after kids, then you become school. Then there's school, and there might be a secondary school, college, and then that young adulthood hits. And the kids might even kind of move away. Samantha Mock, here today, but she's been gone at school. Next thing you know, there might be a ring on the finger, huh? After school, you're young adults, then you got to get a job. You know, you're 18, you got to think, oh, I got to get a job. Remember that one? Possibly marriage. After marriage, possibly kids. So we're turning pages. Some of us are there. After kids, might have grandkids. And then you're focused on retirement. But I just want you to know that we really pray for you and your wherever you're at in this facet in life. And if you don't get the prayer request, call into the office and see if you can get them. And pray every week for what goes on in this church body. There are so many things that we need to pray for. And just take a little time and do it. Let's pray now. Lord, we are so thankful for the examples of people that attend church here and the examples they are in the workplace. And Lord, it's not easy to be an example of Living Word when you're out in the workplace. But Lord, I know that that example shines a lot. I just pray for endurance that we can maybe be asked by somebody, hey, what's different about you? How come you can react this way on the job? Lord, it's not easy, but we do pray for examples from this body. And we know that there are many, but we just pray for those tough times that will come up. We're so thankful for the different giftedness in our body. There's so many different talents here that become more magnified as you grow up and you see strengths in people that you didn't think they had. And Lord, it's just your Holy Spirit working through them. And Lord, we just pray for a constant meditation on your word and how we can glorify you as we do go out and work. Father, I'm just very mindful of the firefighters now and the tough job that they have. And our state's kind of burning up. Lord, we're praying for quenching rains. And Lord, we just pray for the water supply and the many needs that this valley has. And Lord, I just pray for our body, as a lot of us are traveling this weekend and a lot of people traveling, but school is here, the summer's gone. And pray for our schedules as we start, but most importantly, Lord, how we can glorify you in what we do. Lord, we just think of those that are traveling, pray for safety in the state and our church body, and be with Pastor Ken and the message to follow. In Jesus' name, amen.
Good morning. Let's go ahead and get our Bibles out and turn for the second time and final time. We're going to be looking at the 17th chapter of John's Gospel. Turn there with me. Open your Bibles there. Here in these verses 1 through 26, we looked at them some last week, but we're looking again at them, at the longest recorded prayer of our Lord. We've talked quite a bit about it last week and how it was a heartfelt petition from Son to Father. And I want us to kind of think of that way. And what we're talking about is his deepest desires revealed as he prays to the Father. And, you know, I shared last week with you that we're not delving into all that's here. We're not focusing on the theological truths presented, all of them. We're not focusing on the doctrinal truths that are taught. What we're focusing in on, and remind you of this, what we want to do is we want to hear the heart of the Lord as he prays. That's what we're going to be doing as we look at it again. Hear his heart, hear the desires that he has for us. We looked at somewhat of that last week. Have his deep desires to be revealed. Last week we looked at verses 1 through 5 where we heard about himself. Remember what we talked about last week? His deep desire revealed was to glorify God no matter the circumstances of life. No matter what we went through or what was going to happen or anything like that, his deep desire was for his life to glorify God. And the other one that we looked at, this deep desire was to accomplish the work that God had for him no matter the cost. And thirdly, we looked at it and heard in his longings to reach out with the provision of God to rescue the lost. And in reality, we know that he laid down his life, like in communion that we remember today, to reach us, to rescue us, to deliver us from our sin. He gave his life as a ransom for many. And we looked at that all last week and his longings and desires. And then we talked about that they need to be ours. That's what the scripture teaches us, what the Lord's desires, what's on his heart, what he wants to do are to be ours. We're to carry on the legacy of Christ, so to speak. We're to carry on his work. So today what we look at, what I want you to think about and what I want you to focus on is now we listen to him pray for us. That's what he does. He prayed for himself last week and revealed his deepest desires for his life to glorify God, to accomplish the work, and to reach out to save souls. Now he turns and he prays for his disciples, and that's us. And kind of set our heart on that this morning and get ready for that. As we begin, I want you to think about something for a moment. And if you have a pen, take something out and write in your bulletin. But I want you to think a moment with me about the desires that you have for your family as you pray. I'm going to give you a minute to think about it. Think about what you ask God about. I was just asking the Lord for some things for my family this morning. Some desires that are on my heart for my wife, for my children, for my extended family, for my church family. Write something down. Note it in your mind. What you ask God for them for, what you ask God to do in their life. It can be many, many things. What's your deepest desires that you have for your family? Maybe you ask and pray for their relationships to be right. Maybe you ask God to help them honor God's truth, or you pray for God's work in their life, or you pray for them to recognize their way and turn and repent and embrace the Lord. Maybe you ask for the right focus or for the love of Christ to grow in their heart. Or maybe you pray for their career or their schooling or their future spouse or for their lives to be lived in honor of the Lord. There's a lot of things you can write down, but write down something. Make a note of it in your mind. Now think with me. What if your family could listen into you? Listen into your asking of God, not just hearing the words that you pray, but hearing the heart that you pray them with. Hearing your deepest desires, they could capture your heart. That's what we're doing today. We're listening to the Lord Jesus Christ, hearing our Lord and Savior, asking on our behalf, capturing his deepest desires for you. He prays for those that are his. He prays for his disciples. So get your heart ready in that and be prepared to listen to the word of God, to Christ. Like we said last week, in the Bible, recorded in the scriptures, prayed before his disciples for a purpose. Listen to the heart of the Lord about you. Verse 6 through 26. Now remember, he's praying to God the Father, God the Son praying to the Father. He says this, I have manifested your name to the men whom you have given me out of the world. They were yours, and you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they had come to know that everything you have given me is from you. For the words which you have gave me, I have given to them, and they have received them, and truly understood that I came forth from you, and they believed that you sent me. I ask on their behalf. I don't ask on behalf of the world, but for those whom you have given me, for they are yours, and all things that are mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I have been glorified in them. I am no longer in the world, and yet they themselves are in the world, and I come to you, Holy Father. Keep them in your name, the name which you have given me, that they may be even, they may be one, even as we are. While I was with them, I was keeping them in your name, which you have given me, and I guarded them, and not one of them perished, but the son of perdition, that the scripture would be fulfilled. But now I come to you, and these things I speak in the world, so that they may have my joy made full of themselves. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I do not ask you to take them out of the world, but to keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. Have you sent me into the world? I also have sent them into the world. For their sakes I sanctify myself, that they themselves also may be sanctified in truth. I do not ask on behalf of these alone, but for those whom believe in me through their word, that they may all be one. Even as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. The glory you have given me, I have given to them, that they may be one, just as we are one. I in them and you in me, that they may be perfected in unity, so that the world may know that you sent me and loved them, even as you've loved me. Father, I desire that they also whom you've given me be with me where I am, so that they may see my glory which you have given me, for you loved me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, although the world has not known you, yet I have known you, and these have known that you sent me, and have made your name known to them, and will make it known, so that the love which you have loved me may be in them, and I in them. I can't get over the passage. I get overwhelmed. I'm overwhelmed right now every time I read the truth of God and the goodness of God and the glory of God and how God loved me and how God loved you and what God is doing in our life. I was thinking about this as I was going through it, and I was watching a video the other day, and it's about this gentleman that asked some people to help him and gather some money together, and what he wanted to do is he wanted to go bless some people at a grocery store. And he wanted to do it for Christ. He wanted to express the love of God. And so he got some money together, and what he would do is he went to this grocery store in the South, and he just went in and he just would get in line, and they were filming it, and then the cashier was in on it, but she was the only one, and one other lady there, and I'll explain why she was in on it. But he'd get in line and he'd get behind somebody, random person, and they'd come up and they're going through the checkout, and you'd see his face. The camera was way off. And the bill would be 44, whatever, and then he would just say, hang on a minute, and he just would set down the cash on the counter, and just say, God is good, and walk away. He just would walk out, and some people, the gratitude, just they just, you know how the baffled look of people get and that kind of thing, and they'd, did he really do that? You know, that would happen, and then they'd run over here, try to catch him outside. Thank you, to be grateful. But what overwhelmed my heart, they showed about 12 people. Over half of them, when they did it, they broke down. They couldn't believe the goodness of God in something as simple as that. Think about it, $54, $62. The bills at the grocery store weren't huge, and this one lady could not quit crying. And that's why that other lady was in on it, because she would come up and console people. They knew that when you minister to people in their heart, the goodness of God, in a simple way, in a simple form, where people are at, the goodness of God speaks to your heart. That's this passage. It's to speak to our heart in that way. It's to touch us where we're at. It's to move into where we're just in this life and to recognize the assurance of the goodness of God in our life. That's the depth of the deep desires of the Lord, for you to know God's goodness in the midst of whatever you're going through. For what Jesus is praying here is for the fulfillment of God's will for his disciples. His deepest heartfelt requests are God's will for you. That's what he's praying. He's just calling out to God to fulfill his will. God answers them because this is exactly his will. I want you to capture that. This isn't God's will because Christ prays it. This doesn't change God's will because Christ prays it. This is the Son and Father that are one, and he's speaking to the Father about exactly what God's will is for every one of his disciples. He's praying, bring it the fulfillment of it, Lord. Bring what you are going to do in the life of the believer. Let that sink in a moment. The fulfillment of God's will for you. We'll look at what they are for a moment, but look at the passage again. Jesus gives us a little details for who the disciples are. Verse 6 through 8, look at them with me in verse 20. This is who he prays for. I have manifested your name to the men you have given me out of the world. They were yours and you gave them to me and they have kept your word. Now they have come to know that everything you have given me is from you. For the words which you gave me I've given to them and they have received them and truly understood that I came forth from you. And they believe that you have sent me. Verse 20, and I don't ask on just on the benefit of just the disciples here, right here and now, but for those who believe in me through their word. That's who a believer is. That's who a Christian is, who he prays for, who has the will of God in their life, that have believed, that have trusted, that put their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, not just in the faith in the words, but faith in the reality of who God is and the reality of the truth of God and the reality of who we are, that he sent his only begotten Son because I'm such a sinner and I'm such a person that needs forgiveness and rescued from my life that I have trusted in that. That's who a believer is. Somebody that has saw God and saw who you are and said, only God can save me. Only God can rescue me. That's who he prays for. He prays for those who believe, and he said this, and for those who have kept his word. Look at, he said that, now they have come to know that everything you have given me is from you. For the words you gave me, I've given to them, and they received them and truly understood them. And at the end of verse 6, and they have kept your word. That's who a believer is, who a Christian is. Jesus said it in John 8, 31, 32. He said this, if you continue in my word, then you're truly disciples of mine, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. That's who he's praying for, those that see their life, that see the truth of Christ, and surrendered their life to Christ, and then walk by the word of God. None of us keep it perfectly. But we're striving and going forward to honoring his word, to continuing in his word, and learning it and applying it, and all the stumbles that we have of that. Listen to what Christ said about believers, about those that he prays for in John 14, 21 through 24. He says this, he who has my commandments and keeps them is the one who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him, and I will disclose myself to him. And if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and he will come to him and make our abode with him. That's really what a believer is, one that Christ, that God, has come into a relationship with, and you know and experience the love of God. You are following his word. You're honoring his word, not perfectly, but in our heart willingly. So that's who he's praying for. That's who he's, his deepest desires is for God's will to come about in his life. So he prays on our behalf. Something very interesting in John 17, he begins to pray on our behalf. In Scripture, Hebrews 7, 25 and other ones says he continues to do so at the right hand of the Father, to intercede on our behalf, to pray for God's will, for God's fulfillment of his will to come forth in our life. And in Hebrews 8, or in Romans 8, I think it's 26, Scripture tells us that the Holy Spirit does the same thing. He intercedes on our behalf for the will of God to come in our life, because sometimes we don't even know what to pray is the will of God. So the desires of Christ is to pray for us, for the Father to bring forth his will. And the first one he says, look it with me, he says, Father, keep them. Verse 11 through 16, listen to what he says. He says, I'm no longer in the world, yet they themselves are in the world, and I come to you, Holy Father, keep them in your name, the name which you have given me, that they may be one, even as I am one. While I was with them, I was keeping them in your name, which you have given me, and guarded them, and not one of them perished. Verse 14, I have given them your word, and the world has hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I don't ask you to take them out of the world, but to keep them from the evil one. The fulfillment of God's will is to keep you. Let that just hit your heart for a moment. Look at the front of your bulletin. It's what Peter is writing about in 1 Peter 1, 3 through 5. And I highlighted a couple of things on the front of it, because here's the main thing of what Christ, or what Peter's writing about. He says this, by his great mercy, you see it there, by the mercy of God, God has caused us to be born again to a living hope, and toward the end, protected by the power of God. You know, your salvation, your deliverance, your rescue is protected by the power of God. Nothing can take that away. Nothing can snatch that away. If you're saved, you're his. You'll always be his. Even if you stumble, even if your faith wanes, even if you have difficulty, even if you get upset, even if nothing can separate you from the love of Christ. Nothing can separate you from the hand of God. He will keep you. It's the will of God. He's going to fulfill the will of God. That's what he's praying. Never in your life should you ever believe in your life unless you're struggling in a sense of walking with the Lord, and the Lord will allow you to doubt your assurance because he wants to draw you to himself. But if you're his, you'll never perish. Nothing will take you out of the hand of God. Jesus said in John 10 that my sheep hear my voice. I know them. They follow me, and they will never perish. No one can take him out of my hand, and my Father, who is greater than me, no one can take him out of my hand or his hand. You're guarded. You're protected. Nothing can take you out of the hand of God. If you're saved, if you're the Lord, you will always be. No enemy, no sin, no struggle can ever stop that. You see, he's praying for God's will for you to fulfill the will that God has for you. Think about that for a moment. Second, he prays for the Father to sanctify them. Look at verse 17 and 19 with me. We're just going to kind of move along through this because there's a lot here, but look at, to sanctify them, he says this, sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. Have you sent me into the world? I also sent them into the world. For their sakes, I sanctify myself, that they themselves also may be sanctified in the truth. He prays for the fulfillment of God's will, your sanctification. Sanctification, to sanctify, to set apart, to consecrate, to be used as a holy utensil, to consecrate a life, to live rightly, holy, and righteously. That's God's will for you, your sanctification. In Romans 8:29, it says that God has predestined you to become to conform to the image of his Son. The way you live is to be conformed to like Christ. The way that's going to, our lives are going to be, is to be ever changing to be more like Christ. That's God's will, is that. One day it will be completed in heaven, 1 John 3:2, when I see him, I'll be just like he is. But the will of God for everyone that believes that Christ prays is in this life, your sanctification is taking place. Some slower, some maybe a little faster, some seems like not happening, because the only thing that gets within that will of God to sanctify you is your sin and your selfishness. But ultimately, he will sanctify you. Ultimately, you'll be holy like he is holy. Look at 1 Peter with me for a moment. Turn there. This is what he's talking about in 1 Peter. This is what God is doing in our, and this is how we're to embrace the sanctification process, because it's God's will for our life. But he will do what he's going to do. Each Christian that struggles or stumbles or isn't really in the sanctifying process, they're battling that, fighting that, God's will come about. One day you will be sanctified. I kind of want to join in on it. How about you? I've figured out somewhat that it's not so good to fight what God's will is for my life. Doesn't really profit me. But listen to 1 Peter 1:14 and following. Listen how Peter writes it. He says this. He says, as obedient children, or children of obedience, do not be conformed to the former lust which was yours in your ignorance. Now that word conformed, shaped, don't be molded by the former lust which were yours in your ignorance. The only thing in the world, 1 John 2, the only things that are in the world, 15 verse, lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life. That's all that's in the world. That's all I knew before I got saved. That's all my life was about. Everybody that isn't saved, isn't rescued, delivered, isn't a Christian, their whole life is about lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, the pride of life. It's all about lust. It's what you serve, lust. But you got saved. You've been born again. Don't be conformed by the former lusts which were yours. He's talking about your life. But listen to verse 15. But according to the Holy One who called you, become holy yourselves and also in all your behavior, because it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. You see, that's what God is talking about. Because it's the will of God for us to be sanctified. And we are to embrace that, to choose that. That's the will of God for our lives. That's Jesus' deepest desire for you. Now back to John. Look what he says here, the next thing. Next, Jesus prays for the fulfillment of God's will for you. He says, look at verse 20 through 23. Father, unify them. He's talking about us. Make us one. 20 through 23 says this, I do not ask on behalf of these alone, but for those whom believe in me through their word, that they may all be one, even as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. The glory which you have given me, I have given them, that they may be one, just as we are one, I in them, you in me, that they may be perfected, completed, matured, in oneness, in unity, so that the world may know that you have sent me and love them even as you have loved me. There's a lot here, but he's praying for the Father to bring the unity, to unify us like the Son and the Father's relationship. That's what's in the text. Hear what I'm talking about. Like me and you are one, Father, you and me and I and you. We have one motive. We have one action. We have one mission. We have the same one. It's united. That's what he's talking about. Our relationship is united. We have one truth. We have one love. We're united in these things he's talking about. Make them united in us and in each other with the same motive, the same actions, the same mission, the same love. That's what he's talking about. You know, we're being unified them. Unify us, them in their motive. God's will for us. What is it, everyone? It's the same one that he is. To be one in motive, simply, what is it? To glorify God, isn't it? It's what we talked about last week. That's our motive in all that happens in this life. That's our desire that all happens in this life. It's the motive. I gave that word to it. Simply to glorify God, just like Christ and God do all to glorify God. To be one in action, united in action. 1 Corinthians 15:58 says this, be always abounding in the work of the Lord. We are united in one action. We're here to do the work of the Lord. We're here united to do the work to accomplish that the Father has called us to accomplish through our salvation in Christ. He has something he wants to do through us all. God's will for us is you be united in mission. It's on your outline. I'm going through it quickly. Just like they are united in mission to build up the body of Christ, to build up the church through salvation, sanctification. You know, the only thing that gets in the way of God's will happening as it's going here, But ultimately, God's will always be fulfilled. My sin and my selfishness. For me to glorify God and for me to do the work that I'm here to accomplish, for God's reason for salvation, for me to do the mission that is unified with God the Son, God the Father, to reach out, to rescue the lost, to sanctify the body of Christ, to play my part in it, the only thing that gets in the way of it is my sin and my selfishness. We are to have one pursuit, to be like Christ in all that we do. Remember 1 Peter 1, as obedient children, according to the Holy One who called you, become holy, consecrated, sanctify yourself in all your behavior. That's our pursuit, for God to work in our life, to change our lives, so we will live righteous lives, holy lives. The Father and Son are united in holiness. You see this. I got to take a drink of water. I got a little bit of that cracker right here. That ever happened to you? I'm going to petition the ushers that we get a great big cup for who can just drink that after our communion and wash that thing down. He also is saying in the text, we're united in truth. So are their Father and Son. We know only the truth sets us free. Do we not, church? How much is error helping you? He's working in our lives. He says this. This is what God is doing. He's unifying us in these things and in God's truth, and he's unifying us in love. We're to be united in love. God the Father has loved you and loves you now. God the Son has loved you and loves you now, and they love each other, and we are to love them and each other united in love. This is God's will for you and me, to capture that in our life. That's what God wants us to do as we look at this. We're not looking at all the doctrines here. We're looking at what we're going to capture. This is God's will for us. This is where God's at work. In heaven, I'll glorify God perfectly. I'll do all that God wants me to do. There won't be any more salvation, so the mission is already done. I'll become perfectly holy in all that I am. I'll only walk in the truth because error won't deceive me. The only thing left is love, and that will just go on and on and on and on and on and on. In a reality that I will experience the love of God in a fuller measure, in a greater measure, as we go on and on and on and on. God's will be completed. We're to embrace that. We're to capture that. When he says he gave us his glory, he gave us God's glory, he's talking about communicable attributes. You have communicable attributes of God, the ones that God gave to those that are his, that he saves. It's the attributes of God, the character and nature of God that we can have. Love, grace, mercy, kindness, all these attributes of God. He put them in our life, in our salvation. And by them, we can do what God has asked us to do, to live God's will in our life. That's what we're listening to. That's what we're hearing. He continues and prays in verse 24. Look at it with me. He prays, Father, I desire that they also, whom you have given me, be with me where I am, so that they may see my glory, and you have given me that you which you have given me, for you loved me before the foundation of the world. Jesus is saying, glorify them. Bring them to the final work where they are with me forever and see the glory of Christ, the full display of the glory of Christ. Colossians 3:4 says it this way, when Jesus, who is our life, is revealed, then we will be revealed with him in glory. That's the Father's will. Turn with me to Romans 8 for a minute. Let's just look at this as it would be presented doctrinally in the scriptures. Romans 8:28 through 30. I want you to just see this. This is God's will for our lives. In our glorification and what God's doing and our sanctification and the work of God that's going to happen in our lives, these are all God's will. And when we look at verse 28, and we know that God caused all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. You know, that's the will of God that God is bringing about. It's the same thing Christ is praying. Verse 29, for those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to become conformed to the image of his Son. That's the will of God, so that they would be the firstborn of many brethren, brothers of Christ, family of God. Verse 30, and these whom he predestined, he also called. And these whom he called, he also justified. And these whom he justified, he also glorified. Did you hear what Paul was saying? The fulfillment of God's will happen. This is it right here. This is the path. This is the journey through life. This is what God is doing. But it involves me and you. It involves in all the struggles in our life and all the difficulties and all the stumbling and all the things that were going on. Do you hear what God wants us to hear today? The assurance of your salvation, the assurance of your sanctification, the assurance that you're going to be part of the work of God, the assurance that you'll know God, the assurance that you'll be glorified by God, the assurance of that in all of your life. Can you hear Christ praying it and you hearing it and you recognizing it's as assured as it's the will of God, the one that created this whole thing in the midst of whatever can be going on in this life? I thought of Craig and what he shared the other day when that young guy, that young kid, where he stood up for Christ and they almost cut his arm off and they tore his eye out. You know what? The assurance that God's will happen in his life, you can't stop it. Because God can take everything, everything, and bring it to good to those that love him. I don't care if you see it or not. I want you to see it. But what I want you to have in your heart, it's God's will. You can't stop it. Your unbelief doesn't stop it. Your doubt doesn't stop it. Your fear doesn't stop it. The world and its devastation and the horrific things that go in this world can't stop it. Nothing can stop God's will. Jesus prays for the fulfillment. Fulfill it, Father. Last thing, back to John 17. Look what he says here. In verse 25 through 26, the Lord asked for the Father would make God's love known to you, that it would be in you, that you would experience it, that you would understand it, that you would treasure it. Look at verse 25 through 26. O righteous Father, although the world has not known you, yet I have known you, and these have known that you have sent me. That's salvation, believing in Christ. And I have made your name, your character, your attributes, who you are and who they are, known to them. God's a holy and righteous and true God, and we are sinners that need to be saved by the grace of God. None of us are good. That's what he's talking about. I've made known your name, your character, that you're a forgiving, gracious. Thank you, Brian, for reading Psalm 103. Can we know God any better than in Psalm 103? Can we believe in him and trust in him and who he declares he is? That as far as the east is from the west, my sin has been forgiven? That God is that kind of God? That's what he's talking about. And I will make it known so that the love which you loved Christ, loved the Son, may be in them and I in them. That we would experience the love of God, that we would understand the love of God, that we would treasure the love of God. Here, listen to what Paul wrote in Ephesians 3, saying what this love is that God wants us to know, that we will know, that it's a life that we walk in and it's revealed to us and shown to us because it's the will of God. Ephesians 3, 14 and following, as we embrace what God has for us, one day I'll know it perfectly. But he prays this, for this reason I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and earth derives its name, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory, praying for us again, to be strengthened with power through his inner spirit in the inner man, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and that you being rooted and grounded in love, that's what we are. We are rooted and grounded in the love of Christ, that we may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth, the length, the height, and depth, to know the love of Christ, which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled up to all the fullness of God. That's the Father's will for you. Through this life, all the way through eternity, to be filled with the fullness of God, to know the breadth, length, depth of the love of Christ in your life. There's so much more for me to learn and grow. And it's God's will, the Father's will, that I experience that, that I know that it's there and it will be fulfilled one day. So God the Father will keep you. He will sanctify you. He will unify us. He will glorify us. He will make his love known to us. We are to capture that. We're to embrace that. We're to join in on that work, not because Christ prays it that it will be done, because it is the will of God for all those who believe in him. Now let's close with verse 13. We didn't cover that one today. Look at it. John 17, 13. Look at what it says. It's right in the middle of his prayer, and he says this, "But now I come to you." He's coming to the Holy Father, the righteous Father. He's coming to him. And he says, "These things I speak in the world so that they may have my joy made full in themselves." He tells us right here, he prays for us right here. Do you see it now? He speaks to you about these truths, prays for the fulfillment of the Father's will so his joy would be your joy, so you would be fulfilled by his joy. God's truth will be done. God's will be done. I speak them in the world so you'll be full of my joy. What's his joy? Hebrews 12:2, what's his joy? For the joy set before the Lord Jesus Christ. What's the joy? The joy is that the joy that the Father would fulfill his will through the obedience of Christ. He would display his glory. He would show his love. He would reconcile sinners back to himself. He would sanctify them, keep them, bring them to glory. For this joy, Christ endured the cross, despising the shame, and he sat down at the right hand of the Father. That joy is to fill our hearts. That joy that whatever this life is, whatever is going on, whatever is as a believer in Christ, God's will be fulfilled in your life as you walk with the Lord. We maybe hinder it or hasten it in our sin or self-focus or our rejection of some things or our work in progress that we are, but the fulfillment of God's will come. There's an assurance of it. We're to know it in our heart, be filled with the joy of God, that the joy will be made full in us, that God the Father will fulfill his will. Whatever it takes, whatever is needed, God's will cannot be stopped. Capture that. Concluding thought, final thought. Remember what we began with? I ask you to write something down that you pray for your family for. They would be listening in on you. You wrote some things down. What if they could hear not just the words, but capture your deepest desires for them? What if they could capture your heart for God's will in their life? What if they could capture it? How many of you have somebody that's broken or rebelled or rejected? Or hurting because of health, or struggling because of life, maybe it's yourself. What if you could capture that God's will be fulfilled in their life? What if they could hear your deepest desires, your passion, your care, and God could take that and use that for them to hear? Changes everything, doesn't it? Absolutely everything. What if they capture that life is to live for the will of God, trusting in him, believing in him in all circumstances, whatever it costs, putting their faith in his work. Is there anything greater than the will of God? Jesus wants us to capture it will come about in our lives. Let's pray. Josh, we're going to close with just closing prayer today, okay? Father, we just thank you for your scripture, your word. We thank you for the heart of Christ and for his petition before you and that it's here in scripture. It's very unique. It's amazing to hear the Lord pray for just his own life, that Lord, use me to glorify you. I'm here to do a work for you. And you want to use me to rescue people, to deliver people, to help people with their relationship with you. How much so much that becomes our life as we come to faith in Christ. All of us are in the journey of that, in the process of that. And then we hear your words about us, for us, that you pray to our Heavenly Father, that we'll always be kept. No matter how bad we do. That's incredible, isn't it, God? Think that your mercy and grace go beyond anything. my heart or is like the hearts of the people here. Sometimes we don't believe that. But your mercy and grace extend way beyond our failures. That you'll sanctify us, that you are changing our lives, that you are growing our lives to live a right way, a righteous way, not to be pious about it, not to be uppity about it, but to be broken over how much God loves us and he wants us to live such a right way because it's such a better way. It's the best way. It's the way that glorifies him and the way that you use, Lord, to reach others. And that you unify us. You give us the same motive, the same action, the same mission, the same truth, the same love. You've brought us together in that. Lord, forgive us for our sin that hinders that in our lives. Now one day we'll be glorified. Can't stop it. One day all of us here that are believers in Christ will walk in the new heaven and earth perfected. We'll look like Christ, for when we see him, we'll be just like he is. I know who I am. That's absolutely amazing, Lord. That we'll know your love all the way through that. We experience it in our life each and every day. That we can even experience it and understand it and appreciate it even more and more. And one day, we'll all be overwhelmed and fall down because of the love of God when we see the fullness of it. You spoke these things to minister to our heart. For us to have the assurance that our hearts to be full of joy, knowing that we are in the hand of God in all of our life. Help us to live that way and to minister that way and to walk that way. Use us, Lord, for your purposes. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. We are dismissed.